May the peace and blessings of the one true God be with you. A pleasant afternoon to you, my viewers out there. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Today, our program is Islam in the Light of the Bible. I have in studio with me, to my far right, Brother Yahya, Brother Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Awal, and Brother Bahir. My guest, Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Awal, founder and director of Zaytun Dawah Institute, with headquarters in Seattle, Washington State, USA. Sheikh Ahmed is a scholar on science and comparative religion and logic. He's one of the students of Maulana Sheikh Ahmed Diadat. Sheikh Ahmed have lectured, debated, and presented papers on the sciences of Islam in colleges, universities all over the world. He lives in Seattle, Washington State. His origin is Fulani tribe of Kano State, Nigeria. He has written 3 books thus far, For the Glory of Islam. My guests, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Sheikh Muhammad, this program or this topic, Quran or Islam in the Light of the Bible, I have a lot of Christian friends, pastors, and we have discussions. But one of the main things that happen is that persons keep saying that the Quran is a product of the Bible. Could you enlighten our viewers this afternoon? Is it true that the Quran came out of the Bible, or the Quran is a divine revelation from God Almighty?
أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله والصلاة والسلام على خاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى كل ملائكة المقربين وعلى عباد الله الصالحين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. May peace and blessings of Allah be upon all of you who are watching. The topic, as you can see on the screen, Islam in the Light of the Bible. Is the Quran a product, or is Islam a product of the Bible? Did Islam came from the Bible, or is copied from the Bible? Allah in His wisdom said, وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمُهَيْمِنًا عَلَيْهِ. We send down the book to you, Muhammad, in truth, confirming the books that came before the Quran. And the Quran will be a watcher over the books. So really, we the Muslims believe that a book was given to Moses, the Torah, or the Pentateuch, or the Tanakh. And then we also believe that a book was given to Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam, which is the gospel, which is the good news, the Injil. We also believe that a book was given to many prophets that were not even mentioned in the Quran. So Islam is the continuation of all these religions, I mean all these prophets. In actuality, we, the Muslims, believe that all these messages taught nothing but the oneness of God, and that is Islam. So Muhammad didn't actually start Islam. Islam was started long before Muhammad came to the scene. He just came to finalize and finish the whole thing. Again, in the Quran, Allah said, وَلَكَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنِيبُدُ اللَّهِ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. To each and every community, Allah have sent a messenger. And the core of the message is to worship Allah and shun from any abomination. And so really the Quran is not a book that was copied from the Bible. But the Quran is a confirmation of the Bible, the Torah, the Injil, you know, the Zabur, the books given to the earlier prophets. But we believe as it is that the Bible that we have today is not the pristine, pure book that were given to the earlier prophets. Like the Torah today. This is not the Torah, the original Torah that was given to Moses. This is not what we have today. But we believe a book was given to him. The book that was given to him, that is the Torah, the one that we actually believe in. And then we believe a book was given to Isa ibn Maryam, Injil. But we don't believe that a book was given to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we believe a book was given to Jesus. That is the good news. That is the book that we believe. But very unfortunately, the book that we have today is the Gospel according to St. Mark, according to St. Matthew, according to St. John, and according to St. Luke. But we believe in the book that was actually given to these earlier prophets. And so, there is a word in the Quran that Allah said, الَّذِينَ يَتَبِعُونَ الرَّسُولَ النَّبِيَّ الْأُمِّيَّ الَّذِي يَجِدُونَهُ مَكْتُوبًا إِنَّهُمْ فِي التَّوْرَاةِ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ. Those who follow the messenger, the unlettered prophet, whom they find mentioned in their books. Then Allah said, the Torah wal-Injil. In other words, the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioned in the Torah and the Injil as an-Nabiyul Ummi, unlettered prophet, a prophet that have never had any formal education. So in most cases, if you begin to explain, or if I explain to my Christian brethren, that indeed Muhammad is mentioned in your books, they tend to argue with me vehemently in that Muhammad is not in their books, and that the salat that we are doing is not biblical, the fasting is not biblical, the hajj is not biblical. But what I'm trying to ask, what I explain to them, is that the Bible that you have in front of you as it is in English. You don't have the original, you know, Hebrew that Jesus spoke, the Aramaic that he spoke. You don't have that original Aramaic. Now, if you have that original Arabic, and if you compare it with the Quran, it's so very close. So everything that Jesus said was actually translated into the vernacular, into, you know, Greek, into many different languages. Today, if you go to China, the Bible that the Chinese Christians have is in Chinese language. The question is, did Jesus speak Chinese? No. If you go to Africa, the Bible that the Africans have is an African language, many languages. Did Jesus actually spoke that language? No. So you cannot have the exact, you know, the pristine, pure language of revelation that Jesus spoke. It's missing. It's not there. And so if you read in the Bible and you can't find Muhammad, the reason is that the Bible that you have is not written in Hebrew, the language of Jesus. It's like saying the Quran was given to Muhammad in Arabic, but all of a sudden we have the Quran written down in Chinese. Definitely, we're not going to accept that, because this is not the language of Muhammad. How did he speak? There must be some kind of change in it. And that is our claim. Otherwise, the Muslim and the Christian are very close. We have no problem with them. The Muslim and the Christian, inshallah.
And beautiful. Brother Awal,
no.
It is said by a lot of persons that, as you said, Muhammad is not mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
But then Jesus, peace be upon him, said, one will come to you,
no,
who will speak what he's told.
Right.
And he will
be with you forever.
The operative word here is he.
He
will be with you.
He will be with you forever. In other words, he was not there. He will come. He was not there. Like in the book of John 16, verse 7, Jesus Christ said, beloved, it is expedient that I go away. If I don't go, the Comforter will not come. If I go, he will come. Conditional. He was not there at that time. He said if he come, he will reprove the world and talk about sin. If he come, he didn't come. So now if you say the Holy Spirit was there long before Christ was born. Jesus Christ said in the book of John, receive ye the Holy Spirit. He said if you go to preach the healing, it is not you that do the healing. It is the Spirit in you that will do the healing. But this particular Spirit, it's not here yet. Again, Jesus Christ clarified the whole concept before he left the earth. Again, in the book of John 16, verse 12, he said to his disciples, beloved, I have many things to tell you, but you can't understand it now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he didn't come yet, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak from himself, but whatsoever shall he speak, so shall he be told, and he will guide you, will inform you into all things that are to come, and he will glorify me. This is a human being. And the Greek word there is pneuma, spirit. The word pneuma, when we go back to the ancient Greek, because the Greek have two types of Greek, Koine Greek and the classical Greek. The Koine Greek is the common Greek, but in the classical Greek, the word pneuma means a spirit, something that hears something and give it out. So the only person that hears something is prophet. The Quran said, "Wama yantiku anil hawa in huwa illa wahayin yuha." Muhammad does not speak from himself. Whatsoever shall he hear, so shall he was told. So Muhammad actually is the comforter here. is the spirit here. Today, if you go to Mecca, at the tomb of the Messenger of Islam, it says, La ilaha illallah, al-malik al-haq al-mubin, Muhammadur Rasulullah, al-sadiq al-wa'd al-amin. This sadiq al-wa'd al-amin is a spirited truth. Who is al-amin, the trustworthy one? This title was given to him long before he was commissioned as a messenger of Allah. So he's the spirit of truth. And all what he said is truth. And he said, he will glorify me. And the only prophet that came after Muhammad and tell over 1.8 billion Muslims all over the world that Jesus Christ is the Messiah is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He didn't say Abu Bakr is the Messiah or Usman or Ali. He said, Innama al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam Rasulullah. Most certainly Jesus Christ, the Messiah, he is the messenger of Allah and he is the Messiah. So really Muhammad glorified Jesus. Because in the Quran we have a chapter dedicated for Jesus Christ and his disciple. Suratul Ma'idah. That chapter was where the food came from heaven and the disciple of Jesus ate with him. And then we have a surah again to glorify Jesus Christ. Suratul Ali Imran, to glorify his parents. It was a beautiful surah, talk about Jesus Christ, his mother, Elizabeth, and all the family. And then we have another surah in the Quran, chapter 19, Surah Al-Maryam, glorifying Jesus Christ's mother. He will glorify me. I am yet to see a single verse or a single chapter in any version of the Bible dedicated for Jesus Christ. But Muslim, we have a chapter dedicated to Jesus Christ.
So now, is it fair to say, now, one, that according to according to Islam, yeah, and according to the Bible, where persons are saying that Muhammad was not mentioned in the Bible,
now,
is it fair to say that I will raise in Deuteronomy? It is said, right, that I will raise up a prophet,
right,
unto you, like from among your brethren.
Absolutely,
is that prophet Jesus, peace be upon him?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alamin. A very beautiful question asked. Now, Deuteronomy 18:18 definitely talks about somebody, a prophet to come. But before we get to Deuteronomy 18:18, in the book of John chapter 1, verse 19, the Jewish, they know in their Mishnah, Talmud, and the Haggadah, they know that a prophet will come towards the end of time. So they came to John the Baptist. John chapter 1, verse 19. They asked John the Baptist, Yahya, say, John, are you the Messiah? And he said, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, if you are not the Messiah, Jesus, are you Elias? Elias. He said, I'm not Elijah. And they said, if you are not the Messiah, you are not Elijah. Who are you? Are you that prophet? Which prophet? Are you that prophet?
That was spoken of by Moses.
If you're not the Messiah, So if the Christians say this is referring to Jesus, no, because he asked him, are you Messiah, Jesus? He said, no. Are you Elias, Elijah? He said, no. He said, if you are not the Elijah, if you are not the Messiah, then who are you? Are you that prophet? Now, if you have any Bible, in John chapter 1, verse 19, in the brackets, they have an index indicating that you should go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. It will explain who that prophet is. So now let's see Deuteronomy 18, 18. What did it say? It reads, God Almighty speaking to the prophet Moses. He said, O Moses, I, God Almighty, I will rise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee.
Similar to Moses.
Similar to Moses. Like unto thee, and I will put my word in his mouth, and he will tell them all what I said. But anyone who does not believe what he said, I, God Almighty, I will take vengeance on him. And he, that prophet, will speak in my name. That prophet, he will speak in my name. Now, let's break it down. I will rise them up a prophet. Wallahi, the only prophet, if you ask any Muslim, who is Rasulullah? Who is the prophet? He said, Muhammad is a prophet. But the Quran also says Jesus and Moses and Nehemiah, Isaiah, they are prophets. But that epithet is specific to Muhammad. He's known by that epithet, a prophet of Islam. And he said, he will be like unto you. Now, if you analyze it, of course, Muhammad is more like unto Moses. Because the Christians say Christ is God, he is son of God. So, Jesus Christ, Muhammad is not son of God. Muhammad is not God. Muhammad, you know, and Moses is not God, is not son of God. So, Moses is more like Muhammad. Muhammad came into this world through the agency of man and woman. Moses through the agency of man and for woman. But Christ is only the spirit of Allah. It's the word of God that go into Mary and she conceived the immaculate concept. So Muhammad is more like unto Moses. Muhammad's prophet, when he came, the Arabs, the very first Arabs, they tried to kill Muhammad. So Muhammad ran away, he escaped from Mecca to Medina. Moses, they were trying to kill him in Egypt. He escaped from Egypt to Midian. But Christ spent all of his life in Jerusalem, in Judea. Muhammad came with a book, the Quran. The Arabs gave him endless proof, but towards the end of time, all the Arabs accepted the Quran into the whole wide world. Jesus Christ, Moses, the same thing. He came with the Torah. They gave him endless problem, but towards the end, all the Israelites accept the Torah as the guide from God to them. But Jesus Christ came, and today, 99.9 million Muslims did not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah. So Muhammad is more like unto Moses. Mm-hmm. Moses have children, Muhammad have children. Christ no children. Moses is married, Muhammad is married. Christ is not married. Moses was, you know, he died, he was buried in the ground. Muhammad died, buried in the ground. Christ went to the heaven. So like unto thee. And the confirmation goes on, and I will put my word in his mouth. Now if you open any Quran, Qul, say, the first revelation that killed Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Qul. The angel said, Qul, listen, Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Muhammad said, Qul huwa Allahu ahad, Allahu samad. So the words were practically put in the mouth of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Ikra. Read in the name of the Lord.
And Muhammad read. So he said, Ikra, bismi rabbika alladhi khalaqa. Whatever the angel said, he repeated. The verse said, and I will put my word in his mouth. And the verse also said, and he will speak in my name. Now, the only religion that you open our Quran, it begins in the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful. He will speak in my name.
I read a book.
Now.
I read a book, Sheikh.
Now.
By Brother Ahmed Sheikh Ahmed Yadad.
Yes.
And that book was telling me that, showing you where they had taken out the word Allah from the Bible.
Yeah, Scofield.
And they had replaced it with God.
Now.
And scholars of Christianity,
yes,
had agreed that the word Allah should be there.
Absolutely.
In the thing. No. But what I want to get to you and to the viewers,
right,
what caused this division? Because years ago, the Christians and the Muslims lived side by side,
no,
and lived happily.
Alhamdulillah.
How this division really came about?
It's very, very sad. The Quran mentioned this situation. The Quran said, the nearest, وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَكْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الَّذِينَ قَالُوا إِنَّا نَصَارَى ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ كِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانًا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. The nearest to you, O Muslim, the nearest to you in love are those who call themselves the Christians. This is because these are people that are not arrogant, people who are humble and have renounced the world. So the Muslims, actually, and the Christians are very close. We are so very close that the Messenger of Islam said, towards the in the day of judgment, Jesus Christ and Muhammad will rise up in the same place, because he, Jesus Christ, left the message to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They are very close. So history bear witness to the fact that the Muslim and the Christian were actually going together. The pattern of the way came when the church and the separation of the religion came. And so, you know, politics and politicians use religion, Islam, and Christianity to gain ascendancy, to gain position. And so they caused this conflict, the rift between the Muslims and the Christians, which is very, very sad. It shouldn't be like that. The Muslim and the Christian are very close. And, you know, the Muslim have been, you know, the Christians really enjoyed a very beautiful and comfortable, you know, environment at the time of the Islamic, you know, when Islam was all over the Middle East and Palestine, the Ottoman Empire. They were leaving part of Europe and coming under Islamic, you know, rule, because that's where they get freedom. They get freedom of justice and worship and everything. But it's very unfortunately that, you know, this thing is happening. It is actually politics, but we can bridge the gap, inshallah.
But again, Islam in the light of the Bible.
Now.
Allah says in the Quran,
now,
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, he says, marry from among the Christian and the Jews, the upright ones.
Now.
Today, if a Muslim brother wants to marry a Christian woman, it's a big hurrah.
Yeah.
That the two is unholy, it's an unholy alliance, and they call it the unholy alliance.
Yeah.
And they call it that good can mix with this with bad. You know, a lot of names they give it, and yeah, they try to deter it.
Yeah.
if it is said by God Almighty in the Quran,
no.
is there any place in the Bible that refutes that a Christian woman or a Jewish woman cannot marry a Muslim man?
Well, actually in the Bible, especially like the Old Testament, when we have where most of the heavy laws are, the book of Leviticus, they have a lot of laws. What they meant when they said a Jew is not allowed to marry, you know, a non-Jew. Mm-hmm. A Jew is not allowed to marry a non-Jew. But when we come to the New Testament, Christ didn't make any statement. There's not a single statement from the lips of Jesus Christ that said, you know, a Christian or someone who followed Christ could not marry outside Christendom. It just say, marry someone who is a believer. Mm-hmm. And since the person is a believer, he believes in one God. He believes in Jesus Christ as the messenger of God. Christ never taught that he is God, he is the son of God, or any of this stuff like that. It was said about him. So a believer is someone who believes in Allah, God Almighty, which is his name. His name is not God. Mm-hmm. Which I will explain eventually. But so Jesus Christ really didn't mention anything about don't marry Muslim. But in Islam, we are told that marrying the people of the Ahlul Kitab, the Jew and the Christian, is okay. You could marry them. The Jew and the Christian, you could eat their food. You could marry them. The verse is so clear in the Quran that there is no way to go around it. This is the law of Allah. You cannot bring your own, we cannot bring our own interpretation. So this is, it's just too straight that we the Muslim are allowed to marry the people, the women of the Ahlul Kitab. Yes, now.
There's another thing that worries a lot of, and a lot of my Christian friends out there, now. Probably would they would ask me a question also. Mm-hmm. They are saying that Islam, we follow Muhammad.
Right.
They follow Jesus.
Now.
Could you explain to the viewers of the public, if we follow Muhammad, or do we follow the Quran, or we follow Allah, or do we praise Muhammad as they do? They praise Jesus and they ask for things in Jesus' name.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. You see, in Islam, we follow Muhammad because he is the prophet of today. That we have to follow his guidance that he brought. At the time of Jesus, those who follow him, they follow the right thing. His disciple and those who believe in him as a messenger of God, they followed him in as much that he said in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one go to the Father but through me, which I don't have any problem with. Because at the time of Jesus, he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one go to the Father but through him. At the time of Moses, who was the way? Moses. So he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one go to the Father but through Moses. At the time of Noah, Noah was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one but through Noah. But before Christ left, he said, if you love me, keep my commandment, and I will pray, and the Father will send you another comforter, and he will be with you forever. The Quran is here with us forever. In the Islam, we say, Khatim al-Nabi'in wa Imam al-Mursaleen. Really, we don't worship Muhammad, but we follow his guidance that he brought. And we follow and believe the guidance that was given to Jesus. But Christ never said for anyone to worship him or to pray in his name. What he said in the book of John, chapter 7, verse 21, he said, not all those who call me Lord, Lord will enter heaven, but those who do the will of God, they will enter heaven. And he said, on that day, which day? The day of judgment. Many will come to me saying to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? In your name we cast out devil. In your name we do so many mighty works. And Jesus Christ said, I don't know you. Get away from me, you who worship me for nothing. You who do iniquity. And then we have in the book of John, in the book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 8. He said, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine of men, men who wrote the books. So all this thing was written after Christ. He had nothing to do with it. He bowed down to God and prayed. How could you pray with him? Matthew 26, 39. It reads, and Christ went little further, and he fell on his face, and he prayed. Prayed to who? And he said, oh, my Father. Again, Mark chapter 14, verse 34. He said, Abba, Abba, I know that all things are possible with thee. Please take away this pain from me. And he fell on his face, and he did worship the Lord. So how could you worship someone who worships somebody? So Christ actually worshiped the Lord. You want to go to heaven? Follow Jesus Christ's law and commandment. Because in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, verse 16, he said, someone came to Jesus in Jerusalem. This man wants to go to heaven. So he saw Christ on the way. He said, Jesus Christ, good master, what good thing must I do to enter life eternally, to enter heaven? So Christ said, look, wait a minute. Why do you call me good for? Don't start elevating me. Why does thou call me good for? The only one that is good is the Father in heaven. But if you want to enter the heaven eternally, keep the commandment of Moses. And the man said, Master, what is the commandment? And Jesus said exactly what Moses said in the book of Deuteronomy. Jesus said, Shema Israel, Adonai Elohim, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the man said, what else? He said, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. And he expounded the 10 commandments. He said, if you follow this, salvation is yours. So if you follow what Jesus Christ said and what the Quran said, it is so easy. But if you follow what others say and what the preacher is preaching, moving people, tantalizing them, it's a different thing. I would take the word of Jesus, because he said, the master is greater than the servant. And he said, my father is greater than I. John chapter 14, verse 28. My father is greater than I. So I will follow Jesus instead. I follow Jesus Christ and I follow Muhammad, because they came with guidance. But those who worship Jesus Christ, he told them in the book of Matthew and John that you worship me in vain. I don't know, you get away from me. You who worship me for nothing, iniquity.
So we Muslims believe that Jesus ascended, peace be upon him, ascended into heaven.
No.
That he didn't die on the cross.
No.
Now, the Christians believe he died and then he was raised.
Right.
In that light,
no.
How should the Christians and the Muslims them come together to see when Jesus returned?
No.
What will be it? Or what was forecast was that when Jesus returned, who will he pray with and who will he condemn?
Alhamdulillah, all praise be to Allah. The answer is so simple, in that if you look at Jesus, even the picture that the Christian portray in the Bible, his picture, he looked more like a Muslim with a beard and a long dress. If you look at Mary, she have the hijab on. She looked more like a Muslim woman. So who is following Jesus practically? With faith also, is the Muslim. So if Jesus Christ happened to come here today in Georgetown today, wallahi, if you look around and if you see the Muslim with the dress, mashallah, he would say salam alaikum to them, because they look more like him. And if Maryam, the mother of Jesus, may Allah be pleased with her, if she come today with her hijab, if she see the Muslim woman dressed like her, she would say salam to them. They will be more comfortable with Jesus. But we said Christ did not die on the cross, because to die on the cross is an ignoble insult to a pious prophet of God Almighty. This is a system that criminals, thieves, robbers, rapists, this is the mode of killing them at that time. And the book of Deuteronomy chapter 22 verse 23 said, if any man commit a crime and you bury and you have to kill him and you hang him on the cross, anyone who commit a crime and you have, and if you hang him on the tree, you shall by no means bury him that same day. For whosoever is hung on a tree is an accursed of God. May the curse of God be upon him. The Bible says whosoever is hung on the tree is an accursed of God. So how can we believe at all that Christ is hung on the tree? To believe in that alone is to make mockery of God Almighty. Couldn't God save his servant? The book of Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 20 said, God speaking, Ezekiel 18:20, all soul are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The father shall not bear the iniquity of the son, nor the son bear the iniquity of the father. The wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him, and the righteousness shall be upon him. But if the wicked turn around and do that which is good, God Almighty will blot his sin and will forget it, and he will never remember it. This is the law of Islam.
Beautiful, beautifully put. Let me go to another thing that happens between us, is the zakat.
Now,
we are commanded to pay 2% of what we have
now
for zakat.
Now,
the Bible, somewhere in the Bible says, I think it's in Malachi, that you should pay 10% of your earnings.
Right.
This zakat and this tithes that you throw.
Now,
one, is it on a yearly basis? Two, what is it that God Almighty was saying to us?
Now,
how should zakat or tithes be rewarded in light of the Quran and the Bible?
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Both the Bible and the Quran have good intention based on the Bible saying 10% of your income, you give it for the service of God Almighty. The Quran, 2% or 2.5% that should be given, zakah. The Arabic word zakah means pure or purify or washing or cleansing. Zakiyah, whatever amount you amount from that from 1 year to the following year, the amount that you've been using that have accrued in it, take 7%, 2.5% and give it for the sake of Allah. For the sake of Allah, we have poor people amongst us. This is a system that Allah have set forth in both the books. Wallahi, if we can follow this system, this 10% and this 2.5%, this 2% of zakah, give it to the poor, we would never find a single poor amongst us. God Almighty knows best and He knows better. And He gave it an institution that if we follow, there wouldn't be any problem. You would never see people begging out in the street. But today, within the Muslim and the Christian, you see people begging. But the zakat is meant for these people to be given, to purify.
So the zakat basically is to alleviate the poverty from
absolutely,
the
to alleviate the poverty.
And not for the imams.
Not for the imam or the pastor or the priest or the prodigal, la. It's for the poor who are amongst us. Distribute amongst them and let them feel comfortable.
And this is in the Bible also.
It's also in the Bible and in the Quran also mentioned that, yes.
The brother, would like to comment?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum to my brothers in Islam. And to those who are not Muslims, I say to you, as you just said, the Bible, peace be unto you. My question is along the same line of the pillar of Islam, but you asked the question about the zakat. Now, on the same note, I'm looking to ask a question about the pilgrimage, or we say Hajj,
now
in the Quran, Islam.
Now,
is there anywhere in the Bible that refers to the Hajj or pilgrimage?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. It's a very beautiful question also asked. Well, Islam in light of the Quran, just like what Allah said, وَأَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ بِالْحَقِّ, we send down to you the book, O Muhammad, in truth, confirming the books that we give to other prophets. And the Quran will be a watcher over the books. In other words, these books, all of them came from the fountainhead of Allah's knowledge. The Hajj that we do very soon, inshallah, 3 months and about 3 months and about a week from now, we shall be doing that Hajj. That Hajj is an institution that almost all the prophets have done it. In the book of Psalms of David, chapter 84, verse 6, it reads that David, he said, he took a pilgrimage. He said, blessed is the man in whose heart is yearning for pilgrimage. He who went to the valley of Baca, along the way, he drank from the water, from the valley of the, he drank a water from the valley, which the valley became a spring of water. The only place that I know today that is called Baca is Makkah. Baca is mentioned once in the Quran and Baca is mentioned once in the Bible. It says that David yearned for pilgrimage and he went there, the valley of Baca. And Makkah is a valley. And he drank from the spring of water, which became a spring. That is the Zamzam. Again, if you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 to 12. Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9 to 12. John had a dream. And in that dream, God Almighty explained to him what is going to be done in terms of prayers. And John said, and I beheld in the spirit, and I saw men and women and children speaking different languages from different parts of the world. And all of them were wearing white cloth, and the lamb of sacrifice is in their midst. And some were falling down, some were bowing down, and some were saying, salvation unto thee, O Lord. And the angels asked and say, where did they come from? And John said, they came from different parts of the world seeking the glory of God. And the Lord said, they will not leave this sanctuary until I give them what they come looking for. This verse does not need any interpretation. What religion come from different part of the world, speaking different languages with different colors, wearing white cloth, and the lamb is in their midst, and they keep bowing down. Salvation be unto the Lord. Rabbana, taqabbal minna. This is exactly what they are saying. This prophecy of Hajj is mentioned in the Bible because the Quran came to confirm what the Bible said. So indeed, this Hajj is in the Bible. Yes, now.
Now, you have answered eloquently. All praise be to Allah. Yeah. However, you have only mentioned two pillars because Islam is five pillars.
Now,
Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bani al-Islam al-Kams.
Now,
Islam is written five.
Now,
if we're looking at Islam in the Bible,
now,
how do you substantiate the other three that so far haven't been mentioned from a biblical perspective?
The three?
Yes.
You mean the
you mentioned Hajj.
Right.
You mentioned Zakat.
Zakat, yeah.
We still have fasting.
Now,
we have.
Now, so we have the first one is Kalimat Tawheed.
No.
So, La ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the word that it comes out of your mouth. Once you make this shahada, you become a Muslim. We find this shahada also mentioned in the book of John, chapter 17, verse 3. It said, Jesus Christ speaking, he said, this is life eternal, the only one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou have sent. In other words, this is life eternal. You want to go to heaven? This is how to go to heaven. What? Life eternal, the only one true God. La ilaha illallah. And Jesus Christ, whom thou have sent. If I send you, you are my messenger. And that is exactly what Jesus is. In other words, we can say, there is no God but Allah, and Jesus Christ is the messenger of God. And then we have in the book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Matthew, Christ saying, Shema Israela Adonai Elohun Adonai Echad. This is Hebrew. In Arabic, Ahad is one. Elohun is Allah. In Hebrew, Shema Israela Adonai Elohun. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. This is the very first word that every Jew have to make. And if anyone wants to enter the religion of Hebrew, he have to make this statement, intensifying that there is no deity worthy of worship but Allah. The book of Isaiah 45, he said, I am the Lord, beside me there is no savior. I am God, beside me there is no any other God. I am even God of the heaven and the earth. Thou shalt not worship any God before me. Thou shalt not worship any God in the heaven. Thou shalt not in the earth make any graven images. Thou shalt not bow down to any images, for the Lord thy God is a jealous God who visits his people to the third and fourth iniquity. The Lord is jealous when you worship him, association partner with him. But what we are seeing today is people following the messenger and the miracle that the messengers did, forgetting the one who sent the messenger with the miracle. And if I should expound a little bit on the miracle, and I have been saying all the time, anywhere I go, when I speak, I say Jesus Christ never performed a single miracle in his life. Never make any miracle. Himself never performed a single miracle. People say, look, he has so many. I say, yes. But before I explain what I'm trying to say is that three quotations in the Bible. First of all, I'll give you the book of Acts chapter 2, verse 22. It reads, Peter speaking, he said, ye men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man approved by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. He didn't do it. We find again in the book of John chapter 5, verse 30, Christ saying, I can of my own self do nothing. The way I hear, I judge. And my judgment is good, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Why did he make any miracle? Moses parted the Red Sea. Was he God? No, God gave him the miracle. So we shouldn't follow the miracle that was given to the prophet, but rather we should work with what the prophet did, what they say, the law of God. Miracle was only given to God Almighty by many prophets.
Brother Yaya, you have a question?
No.
To my Muslim brothers out there, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And to my Christian brothers, I greet you with the universal greeting of peace. Sheikh Awal, what I'd like to ask you, since out there, whenever I confront my Christian brothers, they deify the Prophet Jesus. Can you give us a few examples to show them that this is not so?
Naam. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. I have quoted a book of Matthew 26:39, Jesus Christ worshiping. And I give you Mark chapter 14, verse 35, Christ worshiping. And then Luke 22, verse 44, Christ bowing down and worshiping. And then I have to give you the book of Job, the Bible, the book of Job 25, verse 4. It reads, how can man compare himself with God? How can he be clean, whosoever is born of a woman? Even the moon and the star are nothing before God. How much more is man, who is but a womb, and the son of God, and the son of man, who is but a maggot? The Bible says, how can you compare yourself with anyone who is born of a woman? The question is, how was Jesus born? Of a woman. And I'm asking my audience all the time, imagine yourself that you are living, as you are watching on this television right now. I want you to transpose yourself back into the era of Jesus Christ, 2010 years ago. When Mary was having a baby, if suppose you were there to become a nurse and help her to bring this baby out, this baby that is coming out of Mary, this puny, tiny baby with blood and umbilical cord and Maya, is your God, your Jehovah, your Allah, No. The human man definitely doesn't accept all these things. So Christ didn't say he should be worshipped. He said, if you love me, keep my commandment. He said, not all those who call me Lord, Lord will enter heaven, but those who do the will of God. Not him, will of God. Those who do that, they will go to heaven. And then he said, these people, they worship me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching the doctrine of men, men who wrote the books. So Christ have vindicated himself from being worshipped now.
Before we take a few calls, I want to ask you, Brother Awad, in light of the Bible, what was the first miracle of Jesus in light of the Quran? And what was the first miracle? How do we compare the first miracle of Jesus in the Bible?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We all know in the book of John at the marriage of Canaan, there was a feast going on in the marriage of Canaan, and Christ was invited and he went with his disciples. So along the way, when the party was going on, his mother came, and she came and stand by his side, and she told him, she spoke to his ears. She said, look, Jesus, we have these people, dignitaries, who are coming from the part of the world. They are coming and we don't have a wine. We don't have a drink. So can't you do something so that we get a drink? You know what he said? He said, woman, what have I to do with thee? My time is not yet. Woman, what have I to do with thee? My time is not yet. In other words, how could he speak to his mother like that, calling her woman? But when he was convinced, he said, where are the jars? They show him the jar. He said, okay, put the water in it and fill it up. They filled that jar with water. And he said, okay, now you can pull it out. When they pull it out, it became a wine, and they drink. And those who drank the wine, they say, why did you keep the best for the last? Meaning they have enjoyed the wine. So the first miracle of Jesus Christ in the Bible, he turned water into wine. That is why wine is common in Christendom today. But the first miracle of Jesus Christ in the Quran, when Mary came with Jesus Christ in the village, they were insinuating that she had a baby. She had a son when she's not married. So she, knowing that this son is a mysterious son, is a son that was given a power by Allah, he had miracles given to him by God, فَأَشَارَ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed to him, she said, ask him. Then he began to speak. I am the messenger of God. He gave me a book. He made me a prophet. He made me a messenger. And he gave me salat and zakat. And he keep on to speak. So in the Quran, the first thing he said, he defended his mother from the calumny of the enemies, that she have a son without getting married.
And that was from the cradle.
He was in the cradle, baby. He spoke as an infant to defend his mother, that he's a messenger of God, and that what she having him is through the miracle of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the Quran, he spoke to defend his mother, but in the Bible, he turned water into wine.
Beautiful. I see you have a call here. Caller, you're on to the program. Welcome. Peace be unto you.
Assalamu
alaikum. Wa alaikum assalam. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Could you speak up a little louder, please?
Is there any way possible, or could I get this feature to buy after this program?
Inshallah. Could you make contact with Brother Khalil or make contact with myself at either Mandela Masjid or New Moss?
Okay then. Assalamualaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. You know, let me take this call. Good afternoon. May I help you?
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Could you please for me clear up the story of Jesus being crucified? Because I know the Quran specifically says that he was not crucified. And Christians all over are saying that they are washed in the blood of Christ. That Christ died for our sins. And I think that that is a very important thing for U.S. Muslim scholars to clarify.
Inshallah. Jazakallah khair, good question.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah. The brothers are asking for the viewers to clarify the death, the crucifying of Jesus Christ.
Alhamdulillah. The Quran is so straightforward. It says, وَمَا قَتَلُوهُ وَمَا سَلَبُوهُ. They did not kill him and they did not crucify him. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. وَلَكِنْ شُبِّهَ لَهُمْ. It looks like that's what happened. Then Allah said, وَإِنَّ الَّذِي نَعْتَلَفُ فِي لَفِي شَكِ مِنْهُمْ. Those who are involved about his death, Allah said, بَالَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ إِلِمْ. They don't have the exact knowledge of what happened. None of the disciples saw what happened. Why? Book of Mark, chapter 14, verse 50 says, during the most critical time of the life of Christ, all his disciples forsook him and fled. None of them saw what happened. When they came to arrest them, they all forsook him and fled. So Allah said, وَإِنَّ الَّذِي نَحْتَلَفُ فِيهِ لَفِي شَكِّ مِنْهُمْ. Those who are involved about his death are full of doubt. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ إِلِمْ. They don't know the exact thing what happened. That was the time that Christ, after the disciple ran away from him, he raised his hand and he prayed to Allah to save him. Then the Quran said, بَلْ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. That's when Allah took him physically, you know, without any debt, to the heavens. So he will come back and live and marry, and then he will explain in details to the Christians as to why he did not die, how come they are worshiping him. Yeah.
Assalamu alaikum.
Hi, good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon to you.
I'm listening to your program. I'm looking at you on TV and I'm listening to your program, which is very informative. But as you quote some of the verses from the Quran and from the Bible, and I'm checking my Bible and I'm seeing that some kind of theology is mixed up there, because Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And from my research, that word God here is a Hebrew word, plural Hebrew word for God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The other thing that I'm hearing you say, that Jesus Christ, it is a normal prophet, it is he's a normal man, he's a messenger. If I'm incorrect, please correct me.
Well, we'll do. But just put your question.
What I am gathering from you, that you're trying to merge or trying to make a connection between Christianity and Islam, and that, I think, is virtually impossible. You're two different belief systems, and there's no way you could try to merge Allah, or not Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, as opposed to Jesus Christ. It is two different belief systems. In Matthew clearly states that, in all the four Gospels, say that Christ was born of a woman, that is correct. But if you also read further, you will realize that this is not just a normal baby. The normal process of getting a baby, that is not how Christ came. And it is stated that this is the man, or this is the child, or the man child, or whatever you want to call him, that will be deliverer. He is the Son of God, right? So I'm trying to listen to you and trying to make the connection.
Okay, but if
and the fact that you say that Christ didn't die, really, how come we, as the Christians, are worshipping a person who died on the tree wearing Deuteronomy? It says that persons who would die that form of death are criminals and so on.
All right, we'll respond to you. Thank you for your question, right?
Yeah, thank you very much, sister. That's a very beautiful, you know, question that you, sincere question you're asking. I can see from the way you're asking a very sincere question. See, the quotation I'm quoting, I didn't make this quotation. I gave you the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22, where Peter said, ye men of Israel, hear this word. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, a man, I didn't say that, a man approved by God amongst you with wonders and sign and miracle, which God did by him, which you also know. He's a man. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. And so, again, in the book of Job 25, verse 4, which I've quoted already, the Bible said, how can man, any man, compare himself with God? How can he be clean? Whosoever is born of a woman can never be clean. I didn't say that. The Bible said that. So now, I don't have any problem. You have to explain to me how come in your book it says that a man can never be God, yet you make him a God. And then again, the Son of God you mentioned, in the Bible, I would refer to you that God have so many sons. Example, the book of Exodus, chapter 4, verse 22, it reads, God Almighty speaking, he said, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. In the book of Jeremiah, 31, verse 9, Israel is my son and Ephraim is my firstborn. In the book of John, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, for all of you who have been given the Spirit, you are allowed to become the sons and daughters of God. And then you quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Again, I will take you back to the book of Psalms, chapter 2, verse 7, where David said, and I will declare the glory that the Lord have said unto me, David, thou art my son, this day I have begotten thee. So becoming the son of God or begotten son of God is nothing before God. Son of God or the begotten son of God, in Hebrew, it means a righteous person. In Africa today, in my language, we use the word the son of God, referring to someone who is very close to God, someone who doesn't drink, he doesn't gamble, he prays to God Almighty, we call him the son of God. But someone who is an evil person, he gambles, he doesn't pray, in my language, we say the son of devil. Devil didn't beget him, but we are describing his quality. So Jesus Christ being the Son of God, we have many, many sons of God. Time will not permit. I could give you dozens and dozens of sons of God in the Bible. That doesn't make them a God.
I'll take two more calls and then we'll wrap up. Assalamu alaikum.
Hi, good night, gentlemen.
Yes, good evening.
I just tuned in, and I know, want to see you guys there. I know the four things you will be debating, that Jesus Christ is not the Son of God. That all you guys are comfortable.
We're not debating that, you know.
Let me tell you something. Mm. You guys are telling God what he can do and what he can't do. That's what you guys are doing here. You are debating God if he has got a son or if he don't have a son. You guys are a bottle of clung.
Thank you, caller.
Last call.
Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. We'll have to wrap up here. I want to say, Brother Muhammad Awal, thank you for being here and sharing with us. Even though our last caller thinks that we are trying to put Jesus, peace be upon him, in a different context,
but we
have never done so.
La.
And we respect the prophethood and the Messiah, Jesus, peace be upon him. Yeah. But all we're trying to do is to bring to the fore the truth about Islam in the light of the Bible.
Yeah.
And do your research. You would know that the Christians and the Muslims prayed side by side in Syria years ago.
Absolutely.
They prayed side by side even in the Ottoman Empire.
Yeah.
They live together. They worship together. So in closing, I would like to say to my Christian brethren, my Muslim brothers, my Hebrew brothers, that we are not the persons or people that you think that we are, or as the media portray us to be. But if you go to your Bible and you do in-depth study of your Bible and do your research, you'll find that Islam is the closest thing that they have to Christianity. With this, I want to say thank you for listening. And I want to say to my Christian brethren who have decided this month, in the holy month of Ramadan, that they are fasting. May God Almighty reward you for this fasting that you're doing.
Amen.
And that you be able to lift yourself spiritually and that you see the rewards of Allah. With this, I want to say thank you to my panel and thank you to you viewers listening. Assalamu alaikum. I leave you the greetings, the universal greeting. Assalamu alaikum. Rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.